Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's Discover the Finger Lakes at SavorLife.com. And just got news of a new winery that opened just a few days ago. This is Scout Vineyards. And this is just north of Fox Run on Route 14 on Seneca Lake. Looks like a cool entrance. Love the what they posted. They are open this weekend. This is the first weekend that they're opening, 10 to 5 today and tomorrow. So if you want to find out more about the newest winery, you can go visit them and taste their wine today or tomorrow. They're about an hour away, north of Fox Run, south of Billsboro Winery. And I can pretty much get to Fox Run in an hour and 5 minutes, something like that. And it's Olivia and Daniel Budman are the owners. Apparently, Hobart William Smith graduates, at least one of them. As they mentioned, another graduate who helped with the design of their labels. And they've got a Riesling, a Chardonnay, several Chardonnays, and some cool designs for their labels. And they're 2019 wines, so like many wineries, they started making wine before they opened their tasting room. And this is the west side of Seneca Lake. And earlier this morning on the food show, I mentioned the Spotted Duck ice cream shop that is south of Fox Run, a little further, maybe 15 minutes south of Fox Run. So maybe check out one of the newest winery in the Finger Lakes and then have a little ice cream. Also, Fox Run has their cafe. Glenora has their Verasions restaurant. Those are open. So some nice places to get something to eat on a lovely day. Just a beautiful day to take a trip down into the Finger Lakes. And again, some of the wineries, it's by appointment, the tastings. And if there's a couple in particular that you want to go visit, I would check with them at first, but there are quite a few wineries that you can just walk in and taste, or they have outdoor seating for tasting and are offering flights outside. A gorgeous day for that. And we're getting closer to grape harvest, usually the end of August. Some of the first varieties are ready. Not the vinifera grapes, but grapes like Aurora, sometimes end of August, and that's 2 or 3 weeks from now. And you'll see some grapes that have changed color, the purple grapes looking closer to readiness. So it's just a pretty time to go down and sort of wander through the vineyards and visit some of the wineries. So Scout Vineyards, the newest winery in the Finger Lakes, with several wines for you to taste, and open this weekend for the first time. Look them up on Facebook. You can follow them there and see some of these designs of their labels that Julie Kunzman did, another Hobart William Smith graduate. And this adds to the number of wineries in the Finger Lakes, generally about 130 at this point. Brightleaf is another fairly new one. That's opened just, well, maybe 2 years ago. And I've seen, in driving through the Finger Lakes, I've seen some construction that looks like potential wineries that are going to be opening, but don't have any information about them. If you run into a new one, send me an email. Give me a call, Michael@SavorLife.com. The region is inexpensive enough that young people want to start a new winery can do that here. You can't really do that in most parts of California or even Washington, Oregon. Land prices are just too expensive, and cost of living and the startup costs are prohibitive. But here in the Finger Lakes, we are still a pretty inexpensive region. Land prices are exponentially less than those other wine regions, the other well-known wine regions of the United States. And so, you can launch a business with a fraction of the money that you might have to spend if you wanted to launch this on the West Coast. So, this is another example of that with Scout Vineyards opening. I look forward to interviewing them in the near future and getting more details about their background and their wines. And sometimes wineries will open using a consulting winemaker. Wouldn't be surprised if Scout Vineyards is doing that. A number of wineries provide that service. Also, sometimes the equipment. Maybe a small winery doesn't have equipment that's big enough for some of their wines as they grow, and they'll contract with another winery to use their tanks, or perhaps a consulting winemaker. Lots of that going on in the Finger Lakes. So I could guess at a few if they're using a consulting winemaker, but we'll see and interview them and get more details. So as you're driving around, let me know what you see and what might be new. Send me a photo, michael@saverlife.com. The gorgeous new hotel, very high-end hotel in Canandaigua, has opened. The Lake House and the Sandbar restaurant that they have right out, looking out on the lake. So kind of a challenging time to open a brand new high-end hotel, but it's been in the works, and it's a Brooklyn couple who opened this. And as I've said quite a few times over the last several months, this was listed as one of the top 18 most anticipated hotel openings in the world, and is now open. So, the other 17 were pretty cool hotels in some amazing parts of the world. It was very cool that not just the Finger Lakes, but Canandaigua highlighted on that list with the Lake House. So it is now open, and looking forward to going down and checking it out. In the north end of Canandaigua Lake, I did see a note that there's a blue-green algae that was found in Canandaigua Lake, Kershaw Park. And so this time of the summer, fairly common that we start to see this. And there are some things we can do to try to mitigate this algae. But water quality in general, fertilizer runoff, things like that. But also just need to be aware of it. It's perhaps most dangerous for dogs if they are going and swim in those areas. But also for people. And you want to be aware, learn more about it if you're going to go down and swim in those areas. And if you're visiting one of the Finger Lakes, do a little research on whether the blue-green algae has been spotted in those areas or not. It's a ongoing problem in the Finger Lakes. Most of the lakes affected at one point or another during the course of the summer. Got a note from Bob Nielsen, who's been really a huge help in the battles against gas storage and sort of the industrialization of the Finger Lakes. And he lives down right near Hemlock Lake. And they have a Dollar General has been proposed for the hamlet of Hemlock. It's not a town. It's too small to be a town. It's just a hamlet. And they're the zoning says that 4,000 square feet is the limit for retail space, and the Dollar General is hoping to open with 9,100 square feet right in Hemlock. This is the corner of East Avenue and North Main Street. There's a Livonia Zoning Board meeting. There's a hearing this Monday, 7 p.m. Town Zoning Board is going to meet, and Bob Nielsen and other people live in that area are asking the Zoning Board to table the issue and so more people can find out about this and some key questions can be answered. Some of the they have a petition site, a petition you can sign up. Now, this is probably mainly for people who live in Hemlock, so but if you know someone who does, or maybe you do, then let them know about this. The petition is, again, asking them to table this hearing until more information can be released. So some of the questions that they have, this petition, how will it add to traffic in the area? How will it contribute to the community in other ways besides revenue and taxes? How many people are hired? What kind of income does it generate for employees? And is the Dollar General's business model of having a store every 10 miles from each other what's best for the area as a whole? What, if any, precautions will be taken to ensure the watershed and lake are not affected? How will the community's larger amount of non-drivers safely navigate to and from the Dollar General? As the speed limit changes to 55 miles an hour near there, I guess. What are the opinions of the small business owners already established in Hemlock? And how will the Dollar General affect these small businesses? So it says, again, we're asking to table the meeting until more people are informed and have time to consider all components of this decision. There is a Dollar General in Livonia. There are lots of Dollar Generals around the region. And I didn't realize they were really shooting for every 10 miles. It's and communities like Hemlock and others need to, they may in the end agree to let Dollar General open, but they need to really evaluate it and get the input of the people that live there. And that's this goes back again to voting in November, not just for president, but voting for these town boards, or running for these town boards. And these small town boards are constantly voting on issues that affect the entire region and not just their hamlet or their town or their village. And we really need to be aware and be proactive in these kinds of meetings. Generally, businesses will try to get these through quickly, with as little public input as possible, because they don't want to slow down the process. And, you know, you can't blame businesses for wanting to do that. But that's where citizens need to be aware. People like Bob Nielsen, who, you know, has been very active in the community, the larger community of the Finger Lakes. And these are decisions need to be considered, have the long-term impact of them on the community character of Hemlock, whether it's necessary to have one, if there's already one 10 miles away, you know, is it necessary to bring in a Dollar General that will potentially compete with other local businesses, and then maybe in the end you're left with just the Dollar General. And, you know, it's in essence a big box store, and is that how we want our communities to look? You know, do we want chain restaurants and chain, you know, do you want a McDonald's there? Do you want a Subway? Do you want, you know, Home Depot right there? These are the kinds of issues that the town boards need to evaluate. And again, you need to be aware and vote for who's on your local town board. So and consider running for local office. Makes a world of difference. You can email me with comments and questions, michael@saverlife.com. You can look up Bob Nielsen on Facebook to get details. You can go to the petitionsite.com and find the petition there for the Livonia Town Board meeting. Again, I'd be happy to send you some links, michael@saverlife.com. There are constantly issues coming up like this. There was one, there is one, that was just Yvonne Taylor. She just posted about this. One of the pollution emitters stations in the Finger Lakes in Dryden is looking to increase the pollution that they're allowed to release, a pretty significant amount, this is something that may get decided very quickly without any environmental review, but we need to look at these kinds of expansions of pollution release. Again, they affect more than just Dryden. You know, that pollution from this plant is going to go across a fair part of the region and our watersheds. So if you if you want more details on that, she's one of the co-founders of Seneca Lake Guardian, which is a waterkeeper affiliate, and was the founder of Gas Free Seneca. You can look her up online, and Yvonne Taylor, very active in helping to monitor meetings and things that are going on, it's we need engaged people in the community to find out about these kinds of things and get the word out, so that the decisions that are made are smart decisions for the long-term health of the region, not just a quick, decision the industry is advocating and promoting and hoping to avoid much public scrutiny. So if you want details on any of these, email me, michael@saverlife.com. Beautiful day to get out and get out and enjoy the trees, the flowers, visit some of the parks. If you haven't been to some like Durand, it might be a good day to go up there. Not as busy as Highland Park. There are tons of gorgeous walking trails and areas around here. Someone posted a photo of a little tiny woolly bear, which I think of as a fall sighting, but this was, it looked like a woolly bear, but it was just very small, maybe a half an inch long instead of being an inch and a half long. But perhaps an early sign of fall, seeing the woolly bear. I've been releasing monarchs, as I mentioned during the gardening show this morning. Hopefully, I'm guessing this is the third generation of monarchs, and that we'll see more eggs being laid, and the fourth generation will get a chance to raise some more to send off to Mexico. But if you want to attract more butterflies and hummingbirds and things, you need more flowers. You need more diversity of flowers. You need more native flowers. You need less lawn. Butterflies don't have much to visit on a lawn. So consider, over the course of maybe the next couple of years, eliminating some of your lawn, gradually expanding some areas of flowers, and maybe doing that in a side yard or a backyard, and get some experience with the process of kind of rewilding a little bit of your yard, allowing Mother Nature to kind of retake it. Now, using some native plants, and you'll be rewarded with more butterflies and birds and things that will visit your yard. Doug Tallamy has some books about this. I interviewed him I guess it was 2 years ago. But one of his most recent books is Nature's Best Hope, A New Approach to Conservation That Starts in Your Yard. And kind of the byline of this, worried about the planet, change starts in your backyard. In the book, Douglas Tallamy urges homeowners to take environmental action into their own hands, one yard at a time. This homegrown approach sidesteps the short-sightedness of governmental policy and the physical limitations of our isolated national parks, empowering us all to make our planet a better place. And the fact that I've raised 150 monarchs for each of the last 4 years maybe is an indication of that, of the impact that just a small city property. We have a tenth of an acre here in the city of Rochester. We have a house and a driveway and a garage that take up some space. There's a sidewalk. But in the remaining space, we have a lot of plants and pretty much no mowing. So we need less grass and more things for wildlife. I mentioned on the gardening show this morning, we have some great nurseries in our area for you to source plant material, native plants, as well as just more flowers and things in general. And it's a pretty time of year to go visit those nurseries and see what's in bloom in their gardens, what you could have that would be flowering. I had swallowtail butterflies visiting my cone flowers. Those are easy to grow, dependable. Black-eyed Susans, they are very tough and bloom a long time. many, many different flowers that you can have blooming right now, and you don't have to be out mowing the lawn quite as much. So I think we have like 40 million acres of lawn in the United States, which is just not that helpful for nature. So when you go to the parks and things, you maybe that gives you some inspiration to create a little bit of that in your yard or a part of your yard. And I think you may find as you enjoy that, and you know, people are spending more time at home because of the pandemic, you appreciate those insects and birds and things that visit your yard. Or sunflowers right now. We have sunflowers that are about 8 or 9 feet tall, and all kinds of bees, things visiting them. There's a one of the people at Hunt Country Vineyards, Matt Kelly, has a blog called The Bee Report, as in B-E-E, Bee Report. And we're sort of studying bees around the country, not just here, and adding pollinator gardens at Hunt Country Vineyards. Lots of neat things happening in the region that you may not realize as we work to make the natural beauty of the Finger Lakes even better, and kind of reclaim it. So, and if you want more information or a link to Matt Kelly's blog, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back tomorrow with the Grapevine, 9 a.m. here at saverlife.com. Have a great day.